Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Splendors of the Sahaba, the show where you learn more about the Sahaba, get inspired by their stories, and inshallah, have an increase in faith and love for them. I'm Ustaz Muhammad Luqman Hakim bin Ruslan. Previously in Splendors of the Sahaba, we have heard of the story of Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu an, how he fought for Islam, and the end which he faced, which showed his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also his loyalty towards Islam. And in today's episode, we'll be talking about Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu an, a youth who converted to Islam after witnessing the martyrdom of Khubayb. It all began with the words of Khubayb: "In shi'tum an tatrukuni arka rak'ataini qabla masra'i faf'alu," which means, "If it is possible for you, my captors, to leave me such that I am able to perform two units of prayer, two rak'ahs of prayer before my sacrifice, then I would hope that you do so." And these words were heard by Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu an. But back then, he was not yet a Muslim. He had not yet embraced Islam. However, that incident, after the prayers that Khubayb offered, and afterwards he was sacrificed, he was killed by the pagans, and Sa'id witnessed this incident, he could not forget what had happened to Khubayb. Even after the incident, it all played in his mind to a point where he thought of how faith made Khubayb who he was till the last of his breath. This strong faith, its source was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, Sa'id made the change and embraced Islam and went in search for the man in Medina, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'id's name was Sa'id bin Amir bin Hudhyam bin Salaman bin Rabi'ah bin Sa'ad bin Jumah. He is more popularly known today as Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi in relations to his great-great-great-grandfather, Jumah. After the incident in Tan'im with Khubayb and the epiphany that he received, Sa'id travelled to Medina and migrated there. He sought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stayed by his side, in which he learned Islam and how to be a Muslim. So he participated in wars from Khaybar till the end with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sa'id was a pious man, a companion was known for his taqwa, his selflessness, and most importantly, asceticism or zuhud. He contributed to the cause of Islam even after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and lived through the times of both the first Khalifa Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an and the second Khalifa Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an as an example to other companions in the search for the hereafter. During his time with Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, Sa'id bin Amir had come to Umar to offer him some advice in view of his caliphate. An advice from a Muslim brother to another, Sa'id bin Amir said to Umar, "Oh Umar, I advise that you would fear Allah in reference to your people and not fear the people and make Allah secondary. And do not contradict your words with your actions, for the best of words are what is proven by actions. Oh Umar, have dignity in those who chose you as their leader, Muslims from near and far, and you should love for them what you love for yourself and your family, and dislike for them what you dislike for yourself and your family, and bring injustice to light, and do not fear those who would blame you for it." Umar then said, "And who would be able to do that, O Sa'id?" Sa'id then replied, "A man like you is capable, and those who Allah have made to carry the mantle of the people of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is none between them and Allah." It was then that Umar called his assistant and said, "Oh Sa'id, I would like you to succeed the people of Homs as their governor." And Homs in today's day and age is a region in Syria. Sa'id said, "Oh Umar, I ask you in the name of Allah not to put me in a position of fitna or in a position of trial. And Umar replied, "Why Haq Sa'id? You put those words onto me and you turn away from me? By Allah's name, I will not leave you." Then he made Sa'id to succeed over Humz. Umar then said, "Do I need to provide you sustenance in Humz?" In which Sa'id replied, "And what would I do with it, O Amirul Mu'minin? For the provisions I have had from Baitul Mal far exceeds me." Subhanallah. The would-be governor was someone who had to have financial aid. Sa'id bin Amir was someone who was an ascetic, a zahid, someone who practiced zuhud, and he only took what was necessary for his life. And thus, Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi aided Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu an in ruling over Homs. And it was during this particular period, a group of men from Homs happened to visit Umar. Umar then asked them about the needy in Homs, as he wanted to provide them with sustenance and aid. So the men from Homs made a list and submit these names to Umar bin al-Khattab for him to give the sustenance. So when Umar read the names of the needy in Homs, one Fulan, two Fulan, and suddenly he chanced upon the name of Sa'id bin Amir. He asked the men from Homs then, "Who is this?" And they said, "He is our leader." Lo and behold, it was indeed Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi. And Umar asked, "Your leader is part of the poor?" They replied, "Yes, and by Allah, days would pass and there would be no fire lighted in his house." Subhanallah. Upon hearing this, Umar cried till his beard was wet from tears. And he sent Sa'id 1,000 dinars and asked for his salam to be given to Sa'id. Subhanallah. Even after becoming the governor, he did not take advantage of the position that he had. And he did not take more than he needed for his life. It was even to another level that Sa'id bin Amir lived a life that was aimed for the hereafter. And he did not partake in the provisions of this world until he really needed it. The example given was just now was when his house did not have fire for a few days, meaning that he did not cook for a few days, meaning he was fasting. And this could only happen to a person who was ascetic, who did this in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was persistent and adamant in wanting what was in the hereafter and not so much of what was in this world. And the 1,000 dinars that Umar gave Sa'id, little that Umar knew that Sa'id had actually given the dinars to the poor and needy after receiving them. Subhanallah. There was also a particular incident that happened during the time where Sa'id bin Amir was governor of Homs. There was once where Umar visited Homs and he was actually faced with a few men from Homs who complained about Sa'id bin Amir radiallahu an. There were 4 complaints in total. First, they said that Sa'id la yakhruj ilayna hatta yata'ala an-nahar, that Sa'id would never come up from his house until the day was hot and the sun had risen high. The second complaint, that innahu la yujibu ahadun bil-layl, that Sa'id would never answer anybody at night, even though he was the governor. Third, innahu la yakhruju ilayna yawman fi shahr, that Sa'id would not go out of his house a day in a month. And finally, tusibuhu min haynin ila akhar ghashyah fayaghibu amman fi majlisih, that Sa'id would feign every now and then when sitting in a majlis, and this would actually kind of annoy the people that were in the majlis, and it couldn't be helped for Sa'id bin Amir. Therefore, Umar asked Sa'id bin Amir about these 4 problems as he was in Homs to visit Sa'id bin Amir. And reluctantly, Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi replied Umar, "For the first one, that I do not come out of my house until the sun had risen high, the reason is because my wife does not have a helper. She does not have a servant. So I myself need my dough to make bread and wait for it to rise so that I can bake my bread. Then I bake my bread and perform my ablution and pray duha. And then do I come out of my house. That is why I do not come off my house until the sun has risen. Secondly, and I'm reluctant to say this, but I do not come out at night, because the day is devoted to my people, but at night it is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the time that Sa'id bin Amir prays and goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one, in which he does not come out from his house, every month at least once he would not come out from his house, Sa'id then replied that he does not have a servant and he would wash his own garment and he only has one to spare. Therefore, he would wash all of it on that particular day and wait for it to dry before sunset, and he would then come out of his house to meet the people. Finally, when asked why he would faint in a seating with his people and he could not help it, it is because he would remember from time to time where he was younger in his youth and he watched Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu an tortured and crucified. And because Sa'id bin Amir back then was not a believer, he had not yet embraced Islam, he could do nothing but watch Khubayb bin Adi get tortured. And he could do nothing to save Khubayb bin Adi. And as these memories flicker in his mind, Sa'id bin Amir can't help himself but shake with fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment would come after him. And therefore he would faint in a majlis without reason that is known by the people around him. Subhanallah. Upon hearing this, Umar bin Khattab was relieved that the complaints, even though they had basis, Sa'id bin Amir also had a basis to why he did the actions that he did. And the actions that he did proved that he was a Muslim, was also somebody that had taqwa, and also somebody that was most important of all, was a zahid, somebody that was ascetic, that rejected the world and only took what was important for him to move on with his life. And Umar bin Khattab let Sa'id bin Amir remain as the governor of Homs, because he knew that Sa'id bin Amir would not abandon his responsibility to the people and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that through the life of Sa'id bin Amir, it is constantly repeated and emphasized that he is somebody that is zahid, somebody that has zuhud, that is ascetic, and a character that we can say a Muslim should possess is actually this character of being a zahid or being zuhud. Not that we entirely reject the world, and I'm sure we are not of that level yet, but we only take what is necessary. We do not waste, and we seek the hereafter more than we seek what is in this world without abandoning our responsibilities. This concept of being zahid is also combined with the concept of ithar in the case of Sa'id bin Amir. And ithar is the act of giving others what you need because others need it more than you. And we see this recurring a lot in the case of Sa'id bin Amir, where Umar would give him money and he would give him back to the people. Umar would give him money again and he would return it back to the needy, to the poor. Even though Sa'id bin Amir himself was poor, but he knew that the need of others outweighed his own needs. Allah SWT mentions in Surah Al-Hashr, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون. Surah Al-Hashr ayah number 9, which means, as for those who had settled in the city and embraced the faith before the arrival of the emigrants, the Muhajirun, they love whoever immigrates to them, never having a desire in their hearts for whatever of the gains is given to the emigrants. They give the Muhajirun preference over themselves, even though they may be in need. And whoever is saved from the selfishness of their own souls, it is they who are truly successful. Scholars say that Sa'id bin Amir al-Jumahi is one of the people who is meant by the ayah, one of the people who practice the concept of ithar. And we see in the ayah that the concept of ithar is to prioritize others, give others preference over themselves, even though they might need that particular thing. And Allah says here that whoever is saved from the selfishness of his own soul, they are the ones who are truly successful, subhanallah. And Sa'id bin Amir truly deserves this title. Even though Sa'id bin Amir is not one of the Ansar or the people meant to ayah, the group of Ansar, the original people from Medina, he was from Mecca, emigrated to Medina. But he possessed this character, and one can truly see this being practiced throughout his life after knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we reflect upon ourselves. Do we give charity? Yes, maybe we do give charity. Do we have this character of zuhud in ourselves? Do we shun the world and take the hereafter into consideration when we do something? Do we do this? Yes, it's possible that we do this too. Do we have this character of ithar? We give others things that we love. We give others things that we like. Do we do this? It may be so, but sometimes it takes a lot of effort to give away something that you like, something that you love, much so something that you need. Therefore, the reward for giving something that you need to others that are more needy is heavier in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is heavier in the day of judgment. However, then again, we should not abandon the responsibilities that we have. Giving charity, practicing ithar, practicing zuhud, all of these practices should be done, of course. And they should be done because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But taking into the consideration of our families and also the planning for our future. However, at the end of the day, to possess this character of ithar is highly commendable. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have this character of ithar so that the people around us would benefit from what we have, and that we take a step closer to achieving the splendors of the Sahaba. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.